Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Adam Beasley. Hope everybody's doing well on this Tuesday night. Got a lot more to get into over the course of the show, but right now we are excited to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. You can buy now and save at the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, and welcome in John Congemi, analyst for the Miami Dolphins and Dolphins.com, as well as college football analyst for ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter by his name, at John Congemi. John, a very good Tuesday evening to you. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Greg. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. Always great to talk to you, John. Really enjoyed, of course, working with John during our time at the Finsiders. Happy to be reunited on the air tonight. And, John, let's get into it. We got so many different aspects of this Dolphins team and certainly the draft class to get into. But the guy who's gotten all the headlines, as you know, man, you're a former quarterback. You know the quarterbacks always steal the headlines. What has your reaction been to the Dolphins trade for quarterback Josh Rosen?
Well, I think it elevates, if you're going to include Josh into this year's draft. And I think you have to kind of bundle that all together, because you go ahead and you get a defensive tackle in Christian Wilkins, who probably would have went sooner had the pieces fall a little bit differently. And I'm glad that the Miami Dolphins got him. But when you add Rosen to the mix, I think it elevates the entire draft class, because you're looking, obviously, for a franchise quarterback. You're not sure if you have one now in Rosen, but at least you have a chance to have one in Rosen. You have a veteran guy in Fitzpatrick of 14 years that has been in every system known to mankind offensively in the National Football League. So you have that wisdom to draw upon if you're Josh Rosen. And I think if you're the Dolphins, you have to feel good about giving him every opportunity to win the job and be a guy that you can evaluate in 2019. And even if it's close, if it's even, you give it to Josh Rosen, because you need him out on the football field to evaluate. Now, does that mean it has to be in week one? I'm not totally 100% married to that idea, but you don't have to be. As long as you get a full evaluation of Josh Rosen to play in 2019, I think the Dolphins are better for it.
John, Adam Beasley here. Thanks for joining the show.
Hey, Adam, I'm with the voice of the orange, plural.
Syracuse does not credit. They don't claim us, man. We're in the dustbin. We are long forgotten from that place. But appreciate having you on. Getting back to Rosen, I'm sure you've watched tape from him from last year. What do you attribute his struggles in 2018 to? Was it him playing poorly? Was it the team around him? Was it the scheme? What do you think went wrong?
Anytime a quarterback struggles, I think you have to take the quarterback at his play, number one. Is he putting you in the best positions to move the football, to protect the football, to score points? And number two, the cast of characters and what type of team you have, not only on offense but on defense. Where are they getting the football? What type of situations are they in? And I think, you know, that was a bad Arizona football team, number one. It wasn't all bad for Josh Rosen. I mean, I think he was upside down a little bit, touchdown to interception ratio. But the most important thing, if you're a Dolphin fan, you're drawing from this, is he played 14 games. He has an elite arm. I mean, there's a reason why Arizona moved up in last year's draft to get him. I think he drives the football really well in the red zone. I think he knows how to manipulate defenders with his eyes and his feet and his shoulders. He does a lot of good things from within the pocket. And he moves enough, he has sound enough mechanics, that he can escape a little bit of pressure and be able to make a good play or not make a bad play. Where I'm saying is throwing the football away. So I think he learned a lot in an upside-down season in a rookie year that he's played 14 games for Arizona. And I think he's going to be the beneficiary coming out on the other side of that. I'm not saying that it's going to be all roses for Rosen in Miami, because of he's, you know, getting to a different offense. He's getting to a different scenery for him. This team is not built right now, as you would say, to go and challenge the New England Patriots for the AFC East. You hope they are at some point. You hope that you're able to go 500 against New England. But he's in a better position for playing, and I think that's going to be a really nice situation for the Dolphins.
John Congemi, analyst for the Miami Dolphins and Dolphins.com, as well as college football analyst for ESPN, joining us here on 560 WQAM. Along those lines, John, when you look at the offensive line currently for the Miami Dolphins, do you envision them making some additions in this next wave of free agency to shore that up? And I guess when you got that in mind, do you think that this line is good enough to protect Rosen so we can get a fair evaluation of him?
I think they're on their way. You know, you have a veteran in Kilgore at center. You have a guy in Tunsil on the left side that has gotten better with each year. Remember, he started as a guard. He's more at his natural position of left tackle. I think he needs to be dominant this year. I think that the year that Tunsil had last year was good. I think he needs to be one of the pillars on this team. And it has a lot of young talent. He's one of those guys. He's a former first-round draft choice, a guy that needs to be more dominant in 2019. I think he is going to take more of a leadership role. But Greg and Adam, everybody knows there's glaring holes at right tackle and one of the guard spots. You have to be able to fill in. Now, whether that means a guy like Michael Dieter, who was drafted out of Wisconsin, is a big guy, played multiple positions for Wisconsin along the offensive line. He's played tackle, he's played left guard, he's played center. Whether he finds a home at guard, which would be great for the Dolphins, he's going to be challenging for that spot. You get Chris Reed in free agency, who can challenge maybe at the other spot, because you never know. Jesse Davis may kick outside if they can't find what they want, either in free agency or on the back end of this roster at offensive line. Maybe you move him to tackle. So there's options for the Miami Dolphins. I don't know if it's solidified as well as you'd like it, but it might be a better position, or at least it gives you a chance to evaluate Josh Rosen if you can figure out what you want to do with Jesse Davis, and one of those two guys can start at guard.
John, I'm just sitting here chuckling. We're 8 minutes into this interview. We've asked, I think, three or four questions. The words Christian Wilkins has not come out of either Greg or mine's lips, and it kind of signifies he's got zero pressure on him because this is the Josh Rosen draft. Everyone wants to see how Rosen plays. And Wilkins, who was the number 13 pick in the draft, has just kind of skated. Do you think that's the dynamic right now?
You know what? I think it's a luxury, actually, for the Dolphins, because we just talked about Michael Dieter playing potentially multiple positions along the offensive line. At least he's done it in college, which doesn't give you any trepidation that he might be able to play one or two in the National Football League. Christian Wilkins played three positions. I mean, he played the traditional nose tackle. He played a traditional three-technique defensive tackle. And then you've seen him stand up. I watched film against Georgia Tech where he actually flushes the edge of the offensive line, pins the running back in, and then makes a tackle for loss. So your 13th overall pick in this year's draft is a guy that comes in with all the credentials. He's a two-time national champion, two-time team captain, multiple All-American. He's versatile up front. He's polished as a pass rusher, 16 career sacks, and he creates havoc in the offensive backfield with 41 tackles for loss in his career. I got a chance to talk to Dabo Swinney last week at a Chick-fil-A event in Georgia at the Reynolds Plantation. There was a golf event, and it was unbelievable how Dabo, I started bringing up his name, and he goes, "What a great kid, what a solid athlete, what a solid person off the field. You're never going to have to worry about him when he leaves the facility, and he's a leader. He's willing to bring guys with him." And I think one of the first questions that Christian asked as a member of the Dolphins, he said, "Who are the leaders on this team? Who am I going to hang around with?" And Minka's one of those guys that came to mind for me, because there's a lot of youth and there's a lot of leadership that has to come from a rookie, a two-year guy, a three-year guy, an ex. Like I said, in Laramie, there's a lot of guys like that that need to be the nucleus of this football team. And Christian, I think, is going to fit in just perfectly.
Yeah, that's a cool story, but you got to give me a second. I got to bend over and pick up all those names you just dropped there, John.
Well, there's more. I got to talk with Gus Malzahn about Chandler Cox.
There you go.
About a guy that can do a little bit of everything. He was drafted, I think, in the seventh round, our first seventh round selection. And Isaiah Prince, Urban Meyer was there. What kind of player is this guy? And he said, the guy got better with every rep. He got better with every game and every year. He wasn't there early, and he got better and better. And I don't know if he's a finished product now, but he might be in a year from now. I don't know if that's too late for the Dolphins at right tackle to play right away, but at least you've got a guy that's trending in the direction you want him to.
Hey, John, I think you buried the lead, though, with this golf tournament, because I saw via the powers of social media that you played golf with Pitt coach Pat Narduzzi, and you guys shot eight under for the tournament?
Yes, we did. You know what? I'm normally not one to bruise myself patting myself on the back, but I played pretty well. I had a good week, a good day, but it was a blast, guys. I mean, geez. I think the guys from Ole Miss won. It was a four-peat. With Wesley Walls and Matt Luke, their head coach. They ended up winning the fourth tournament in a row for Chick-fil-A for the Coach's Challenge, but had a great time. I mean, Brian Kelly was there. Mac Brown was there for North Carolina. It was a really cool event. I got paired with Kirby Smart on the back nine, so I got a little Georgia flavor for the back nine, but it was awesome. I actually played with Randy Etzel on the front nine with Dan Orlovsky. Funny story, guys. Dan Orlovsky gets on the tee and states right away that, hey, we're going to have the honors all front nine. And Coach Narduzzi kind of looked at me. I didn't really say much. And I said, okay, no problem. So we made birdie. They made par on the first hole. And I said, hey, that didn't last very long.
You play from the tips, Kenjamie? You like a scratch golfer?
No. I had a lot of scratching, but it wasn't due to my golf game. We were in the advanced charity event tees for this event.
Yeah, that's sure. That's the way to do it. I play from the reds too. Don't worry.
That was me, buddy.
John Kenjamie, analyst for the Miami Dolphins and Dolphins.com, as well as college football analyst for ESPN, joining us here on 560 WQAM. John, you've had a chance to sit down with Brian Flores. I think you've had the most access to the new Dolphins head coach. So I'm just curious, because we're all really interested to know more about the new head man. What can you tell us about your early impressions of Brian Flores?
Greg, I will say that he's very simplistic, and that doesn't diminish his coaching ability. I'm talking about what he expects from his players, what he expects from his coaches, what he expects from every person that enters the building that works for the organization. Do your job, be on time, be accountable, and don't worry about the big picture, worry about the little things. And I think he's stressing that to the team. You know, Kim Bocamper and I had a chance to sit down with Laramie Tunsil for a piece they're working on. I think WFOR4 is working on for the preseason, and we had him on our podcast for about 8 or 10 minutes today, which will air later in the week. But it was kind of cool that he mentioned more than once about the small details, about the little details. Every meeting that Coach Flores has, a team meeting with the guys, he's talking about penalties. He's talking about the little things. He's talking about attention to detail. And I think that's great, because it brings you back as a player. It brings you back to where you were as, you know, an Optimist League football player, as a college, high school football player, as a college athlete. You're going through, and, you know, sometimes you think about the big picture and you kind of skip over the little things. And the little things hurt the Dolphins over the years. You know, how many yardage, hidden yards and penalties mm-hmm. the Dolphins had over the last 5 or 6 or 7 years? It's been absurd. And if you can win that battle, gosh, you pick up a lot of yards, and maybe you win a little bit of field position, and you put yourself in a position in the fourth quarter where you can win a game instead of, you know, maybe on the opposite end of that. So I think that the little things are big things now for this organization, and especially for this football team. And I think he brings that to work every day.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And I think, John, the word that comes to mind when I think of Brian Flores, and again, you've had far more interaction with him than I have, but serious. A seriousness, professionalism, no nonsense. I don't know, that word is kind of overused, but I think there's a real depth to him, a seriousness. And that's why the more I've gotten to know him, and certainly the facts on the ground have reinforced this, the idea of them tanking is laughable. They're not trying to lose this year. But what I think they are trying to do is to find as many cheap assets with huge upside as possible to lay the foundation. And I think what they're trying – the main objective of 19 is to change the culture, A, but B, figure out what players you have now during the bad times that will be part of the good times. And the good times might be 2 years from now, it might be 3 years from now. But in my mind, that's what they're doing. They're trying to evaluate and gather as many assets as they can that they think that can help them 2-3 years down the road.
Yeah, Adam, who can work within this structure? Who can function? And who can be still a Pro Bowler by my rules? Or not my rules, but the way it should be. I think New England, you know, everybody talks about, hey, let's do it the Patriot way. It's simple. They don't beat themselves. They have an elite quarterback with an elite coach, and they gather people around that can fit into the scheme of the system on offense, on defense, and on special teams. It's not that hard. I mean, they didn't have to have a shot at tequila to come up with it, right? you can, if you don't beat yourself, you can win. If you don't beat yourself, you have a chance to win in every game. And when you're not great, those are the days that those characteristics come up and say, maybe save you a game or keep you in a game that you can have a chance to win at in the fourth quarter with the last possession if you have the ball or don't have the ball. And I think that's where Brian Flores wants to get this football team, or at least the mentality of this football team. Can you pay attention to detail? Can we find enough players, because there's enough youth, there's enough talent that are in their first year, second year, third year, fourth year on this team? Can we find some more guys to buy into that way of thinking with talent that 2 years from now you're looking at a really good football team? That's not saying that they're not going to have a lot of success this year in certain games and certain weeks. They're going, wow, how did the Dolphins, you know, come up with a win this week? That's not going to say it's going to be a 2-14 season, because they're not built that way. The pro athlete, they're not built that way. He's not built that way. He would despise having a season like that. But they're striving to find, as you said, players that buy into the system, that fit the system, that their DNA is, hey, I'm not going to beat myself. I'm going to go out and give my best effort and let us have an opportunity to win instead of preventing us from winning.
Really well said, John. Want to finish it with this. I know you've touched on a number of the members of the draft class, but I do want to ask you a follow-up about Chandler Cox. I think that, you know, everybody, it's unique. This day and age, you don't see many fullbacks. I know looking at what Chad O'Shea was dealing with in New England with James Devlin, certainly they're one of the few teams that utilizes a fullback. You've talked to his former coach. You've broken down his film for MiamiDolphins.com. How do you envision the Dolphins utilizing him in the upcoming season?
Well, number one, he's a terrific athlete. I've seen him in space with the football and without it. He catches it. He knows when he's going to get hit. He wraps up. He's aware of his surroundings. He's tough and aggressive at the point of attack as a blocker. I've seen him take on a defensive end. I've seen him take a cornerback out, a safety out, 30 yards down the field. And I think he's going to be a four-team core special teams guy because he can run, he can hit, and he can tackle. So I think you have, you know, those kind of throwback football players where you go, wow, I don't know what he does great, but he does everything really, really well. I think you have that in Chandler. He does a lot of things really good and, you know, borderline to, wow, he's exceptional at this or that. I think he's a really good blocker. He has good hands. He can run with the football. And he's battle-tested. He played in a conference where if you weren't good at the line of scrimmage and you weren't good at pass protection as a fullbacker, you weren't a great lead blocker, you would be exposed. He was never exposed.
Great to hear. John, I always tell people, man, you got a great eye for football, not just from your playing days, but as an analyst, do an excellent job. Always great to catch up with you, John. Hopefully I see you again soon. I ran into John at the facility during opening night of the draft on Thursday night, so it's good to see you, albeit briefly. John, thanks so much for taking the time, and hopefully we can catch up again soon.
Greg, always a pleasure being with you, buddy, anytime. And Adam, I'll see you soon at camp.
I'll be there this week.
All right.
You got it, buddy.
There he is, John Kajemi, analyst for the Miami Dolphins and Dolphins.com, as well as college football analyst for ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter, at John Kajemi. Great to get his insight and some of his thoughts. And, hey, man, that guy can drop a few names.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Right? I mean, go to a golf tournament with John Kajemi, and it's a who's who of people.
They shoot 8-under.
Listen, he was being very humble and showing some humility. From what I've heard, I've never golfed with him, but he's an excellent golfer.
Is that right?
Yeah. So
he'd hustle you then, too. Huh?
I think so, yeah, because he's a really nice guy. So, yeah, I'm sure, you know, he'd give you kind of the aw shucks feel. The next thing you know, he's taking your ball.
Bombing at 350 down the middle.
Exactly. All right, let's take a quick timeout. That's Adam Beasley. I'm Greg Likens. We're going to come back. I want to follow up on a little bit of what John Kajemi was saying about, and you're back and forth with him, about Brian Flores and what to expect in the upcoming season. We're still getting some people who are tweeting to us.
Well, you have an update, too.
And
I
have an update to my weird text story. So we'll come back. This is just, it's getting more and more bizarre by the instant. We'll come back and talk about that next year on QAM. Radio.com.
Radio.com. Body help, not just anybody. Help. You know, I need someone.
Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Adam Beasley, Dan Day, Chili Willie on the other side of the glass. We're taking you up until 10 o'clock. Big thanks to John Congemi for joining us last segment as he provided some great insight on this Dolphins draft class and right. Josh Rosen and certainly Brian Flores as well, the new Dolphins head coach. And Bees, we got an update on the text story. I'll get to that in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
We do want to let you know that over the course of the remainder of the show, we'll read your text messages. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22, 560-22 is how you get involved in the conversation. At 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk some Game of Thrones.
Oh, boy.
That's going to be now our new weekly thing.
Okay.
At least in back-to-back weeks, if we can call it a weekly thing.
Wait, they may not have me back next week, so this could be the last installment.
Well, we got to take advantage while you're here. Bees, before we meander off into the hijinks that seem to be taking place.
Yeah, our show has been completely hijacked by this.
Well, yeah, rightfully so. I mean, it's not every day you get sometimes people get text messages that aren't intended for them,
mm-hmm.
but not always do they contain what the message that I receive contains.
What message was that, Greg?
Well, you want to refresh everybody's memories?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so I got this text right before we came on the air. It was at 5:59 p.m.
We were literally sitting down in our chairs.
It said, "Hey, girl," lewd emoji,
mm-hmm.
"where are you located?"
What?
And I'm going to read it verbatim. "What's the rates for your time? Please let me know. Thanks." And then it was, what, like 15 minutes later?
Mm-hmm.
I got the next text. In fact, I'll look right. It's literally 15 minutes later. It's 6:14. "How old are you? Thanks." So that was the start of this.
Is this the first time that you've gotten such a series of texts?
Like this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've never gotten. Have you received something like this?
All the time.
I was going to say.
No, but the reason I ask is the next piece of information.
Right. So I wrote back. So we decided that we were going to do the responsible thing. And
yeah,
not,
after having fun for 45 minutes, we thought.
And not egg it on too much. And not knowing who's at the other end of the line, that if it's some like psychopath,
mm-hmm.
we don't want to get on his or her bad side. I'm assuming it's him. And then all of a sudden we got somebody trying to hunt us down here at the radio station.
Yeah, you took it to a dark place there, man.
Well, you never know. So I didn't want to be like the inspiration for like a cold case or something, right? Like
ripped from the headlines, yeah. A Lifetime original.
Yeah, like we don't want to be on CSI Miami.
You ever
right?
watch any of those Lifetime shows by the movies?
Occasionally.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
I mean, there's a reason they keep making them, right? People are tuning in.
Well, no, the reason they keep making them is they're bundled into your cable package and they get all that sub money and they have to do something with their programming, but continue.
But I will admit that they are more entertaining than maybe people are willing to give them credit for.
Oh, yeah. If there's nothing going on, like a Saturday afternoon.
I saw one time. Did you see the one where Will Ferrell is in it? It's like a serious role and Kristen Wiig is his wife?
No.
Oh, yeah. And that's the only reason I watched.
What was the plot line?
It was essentially he was like some famous actor, a famous author. And so he had this like best-selling book and all this stuff. And he was married to Kristen Wiig.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this kind of like quiet, normal life in this small town somewhere by a lake. And there had been an incident with his wife that she had gotten injured and all this other stuff. But that was kind of the subplot. The
mm-hmm.
main plot was that at one point in time, I think there's something that happened to their daughter, but basically he cheated on Kristen Wiig. He was on a book tour.
And there was those book tours, they can get dangerous.
There was a big fan of his writing.
Are you sure this wasn't like a prequel to Misery?
A big fan of his writing. And then this woman, I believe if I remember this correctly, this woman not only did she sleep with him, but then later on she somehow maneuvered her way to be like their maid.
Yeah, that is definitely a Lifetime
right? like
movie
something
plot.
Like that, and then like
100%
came back to haunt him, and then
tried to kill him.
The wife, and then at the end they were like,
I mean, let's be honest, Fatal Attraction could basically be a Lifetime movie.
Well, yes.
With the bunny in the pot and all that.
Different variations of
all that. Yeah.
Yes. So do I give the update now on what I received back?
Well, first I want to tell you a text I just got from Zach Krantz, who's also not in the air. I don't know why he's listening to our show, but he said, Jesus, Bees, did you just say you like Lifetime movies? Good Lord, I am coming to get your man card. Greg, snatch it.
Wow. Really?
I mean, you said you enjoy the movies as well. Why didn't he go after you?
I don't know. Apparently he just wants to take a shot at you.
He and I have a hate-hate relationship.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so you want to hear what I sent then, the final thing?
Oh, we have to get back to the main event.
So this guy texts me, hey, girl, where are you located? What's the rates for your time? Please let me know. Thanks. How old are you? Thanks. I wrote, hey, man, you definitely have the wrong number, dot, 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 but thanks for the laugh. P.S. How did you get this number? Question mark.
That's a valid question.
6 minutes later, the response is simply this. Fort Lauderdale Escort Index.
Gregory Likens, what are you doing in your spare time?
So now what I'm trying to figure out, Bees, is do I... The Fort Lauderdale Escort Index, that seems rather generic.
I feel like you need to use company computers to go on that website and to see if he's telling you the truth.
That's the thing.
I'm already doing that.
how do you properly then search to see if your number
is actually...
It ain't
going on my company phone, I'll tell you that
much.
It's
actually listed on the Fort Lauderdale Escort Index. And whoever this is either playing quite a trick
on us. It's an elaborate hoax, I think.
It's either an elaborate hoax or somebody who is just very open and candid about what they're trying to get out of this evening.
Yeah.
And don't care who I am or if I know that this person is looking for
you. You know, I know this because I used to do more investigative work at the Miami Herald. Now I play in the sandbox and I cover sports. But there is a way to cross-reference that phone number to find out who it belongs to.
Mm. So you suggest we do that maybe during the commercial break?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this story is not done. But yeah, this person openly admitted that they found this. And by the way, Zach texted both of us on that one. But yeah, so you're...
Well, Zach, why aren't you on the air, man?
He was at the picnic today.
Oh, he's probably 7 or 8 beers deep.
Maybe he took, like, his wife's phone number and texted us the whole escort.
Well, thing. I don't think... He's not married, but certainly he could have grabbed Len's phone number.
Well, this is Zach Krantz.
Oh, it's not Zach Duarte.
Zach Krantz.
I had the wrong Zach.
Yeah.
I just assumed it was Duarte. It is Zach Krantz.
Zach Krantz.
I assumed it was Duarte because he messes with me.
Well, because Zach Krantz is married.
Oh.
And he's got a little one at home.
That's why. So it made no sense. Why are you on the air? He should be going to sleep soon, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like he wouldn't be on the air right now. Now you're all messed up.
Well, this entire thing has me shook.
I can tell.
I just assumed it was Duarte messing with me.
Are you just worried that perhaps your number could find its way to the Fort Lauderdale Escort?
Oh, it's been
review?
There for years. But seriously, how did your number get there?
Well, what I have to figure out here is whether it actually is there or whether the phone number that's actually listed on the escort review site is like one off from mine.
That's what a good executive producer is for. Chili Willy and I, we might have to do some research.
You have like 7 different computer monitors there. At least 3 of them should be dedicated to figuring, getting the bottom of this.
From the last time I was here, which would have been last Thursday in this studio, the production area over there where Dan Day is in the control room has now turned into what appears to be like a Starship Enterprise.
Right.
With all these computers.
Right. You guys, you're just playing Fortnite in there, aren't you?
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, and it looks all high tech and stuff. Now, the board still looks the same as it always has, but the computer screens, it looks like they're ready to coordinate all sorts of different things that have nothing to do with radio.
There is more firepower, like computer firepower in that room that was in Houston's control center to get Apollo 13 home, okay?
That's
like,
true.
They could land spaceships with what's going on in there. I've toured that, by the way. You and I have both toured that.
We toured it together. That's true. Yes.
So you get the reference.
I completely understand. I actually thought that's why you brought it up, and then I guess you put two together.
I'm still
fast. You don't like the fact that Zach Krantz is trying to take your man card.
Yeah, I mean, if it was Duarte, it's one thing. I would expect it from him. Krantz, I thought, was
my
friend.
Do you have a hate-hate relationship with Zach Krantz?
No, oh, I have a love-love relationship with Zach Krantz.
Until now.
Yeah, now we're beefing.
We're creating feuds.
We are beefing. I'm glad he's listening, by the way.
That is very nice. Maybe the company picnic lasted until 7:30 at night.
I think that there is a non-zero chance that someone at that picnic sent those texts.
Probably, right?
I wouldn't say probably. I would say there's a real chance.
So they probably got somebody's phone that they knew both of us would not know who mm-hmm. this was. So maybe somebody who's not on the air, maybe not a producer, mm-hmm. maybe somebody in the sales department, somebody in the marketing department, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody from a different radio station altogether.
Is there an Entercom database that we can search these phone numbers?
I could put this phone number into our email database, and that could do it.
Krantz updates, I love you bees, just left the picnic. Okay, Zach, now, since you're listening, can you call in and let us know if you're behind this?
Can Zach Krantz confirm or deny that somebody at the Entercom Miami company picnic sent me a text 1 minute before showtime?
Because that does sound like a Crowder.
That sounds like, yeah.
A Crowder and Hawk type of move.
Right, and a group of them together all egging each other on.
Hammered.
Hammered after drinking a bunch of Funky Buddha beer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I can confirm there is a Fort Lauderdale escort index, but I can't go any further than that because the computer started blowing up all of a sudden.
Oh, and all those nice computer screens we were just complimenting Dan for having there. It now the indication is that one of them has been destroyed because
well,
they started searching.
I really enjoy working with Dan, but today will be the last day. This will be the end of his illustrious run behind the board.
Well, did you know that there used to be an issue in this very studio / control room where they had this like virus that took over the computers and
melted the control board?
One of the former program directors was convinced that somebody was looking at porn like mm-hmm. overnight and had ruined all the computers.
This was work porn, though. This is different.
Okay.
Well, it might ruin the computer still, but we have a scoop right now. Zach Krantz is on the hotline right now, and he is ready to shed some light on this situation.
So maybe we have some inside information
okay.
here, and we need to do the appropriate introduction. All guests appear on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Buy now and save at the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. You can hear him every morning on the Joe Rose and Zach Krantz morning show here on 560 WQAM. Our old friend Zach Krantz joining us now. Zach, how are you doing?
Gentlemen, good evening. All right, three things. Let's get squared off first. First one is, it was definitely one of the overnight promotional guys looking at porn that screwed up all of our computers. Every single morning when me and Greg would get there to do all the work for the Joe Rose Show, because, you know, me and Greg did all the work for the Joe Rose Show, we couldn't get on half the computers. It would say error. There'd be
good
blue
Lord.
Screens. It was horrible. It was terrible. And we all knew who it was, and no one wanted to point the finger, but we all knew who it was, Marky Mark. All right, anyway. Second off. Bees, Lifetime movies. That's why God made iPads. You could watch it in the room with the wife, but you don't have to really watch it.
Well yeah, I understand your point, but I enjoy watching them. I mean,
no,
like,
you can't admit that. You can't admit that.
Sure, I can.
No.
Okay,
I won't allow it.
Do you ever watch a rom-com?
Yeah, I do. I can't.
Okay, so how is that any different?
Because the Lifetime movies are made from actors in the 80s that can't get jobs anymore, and that's why they're on the rom-coms on Lifetime.
But they're
and
so...
I have no idea who sent you that text, but if it was anyone from the picnic, more than likely they were hammered.
Yeah. How'd that go?
It was nice. It was, they did like a color war. There were like teams, and you had to do this and that. Of course, I came about 3 hours late because I was on daddy duty today, but I showed up right for tug of war, and of course, I was the anchor on my team. And, yeah, we won because I probably was the anchor on my team.
You were probably the only sober one who participated, too.
Yeah, because everyone was already 3 hours into boozing, and I got there and had a Diet Pepsi.
What, Zach, give us an over-under on the number of beers that Channing Crowder consumed.
Ooh, I'm going to set the over-under at 19 and a half.
Wow. I mean, he's a big guy, but he's not that big, all right?
No, but he's a drink. He's the only person I've ever met in my life that shows up to a birthday party, a one-year-old's birthday party, a.k.a. my son, a regular picnic, or even a Miami Dolphins function with his own cooler.
There it is. I mean, that's a good strategy. It is, because
yeah. How
many times do you go to a party and they're serving swill and they've
yeah.
got, you know, they got crap there you don't want to drink. You bring your own, you BYOB it, you know you're getting what you like.
Yes.
Absolutely. And what Crowder does is he goes and gets the craziest IPAs he could find because he knows the normal beer drinker won't drink, you know, a dogfish or something like that. Like, they won't drink it because they don't know what it is. And he likes it because he buys 24 of them and usually drinks all 24.
All right. So
I got a quick follow-up, though, Zach. Have you ever received an unsolicited text that was asking you to solicit sex? Have you ever had that experience?
No, but it's fantastic that it happened to Greg. That made my whole night, and that's why I had to call in, because I laughed so hard when I saw the original text, a tweet that Greg put out. I literally laughed. No one was around me. I laughed. I did one of the LOLs in real life. I did it. And I could not believe it. And all I could think of was, what is going through Greg's mind right now that someone is trying to solicit sex from Greg? And I think it's hilarious.
Greg, what would your rate be?
Oh, man. It's got to be something with the derivative of 44, just for Syracuse.
Yeah, there you go. 44,000?
Something like that.
That's it. Yeah, go high. Aim high, Greg. Aim high.
Well, the best part about this, Zach, is that this person, when I texted back to them to let them know that they had the wrong number, they blatantly and brazenly just said, oh, yeah, I got your number from the Fort Lauderdale Escort Index, as if we should all
know. Fantastic.
Yeah, so this person, whoever it is, just does not care.
No, and the better part of the story is I never knew about the Escort Index.
No.
It's real.
No, Krantz, if this was you and Joe, and this happened to one of you two, would you call him on the air?
Absolutely. Not even a question. Although we would have gotten a lot of trouble and probably fined, and Carrie Ann wouldn't have been happy with me, but it definitely would have been worth the 8 minutes of laughter.
Yeah, see, I think for Bees and I, we want to make sure that they allow us to do another show again.
But I feel like we would need a female coworker to talk to him.
That's
like,
the problem. We don't have any females around here.
Correct. I don't think Dan in the back or you two sound like hot women at all, to be honest.
Well,
same to you.
Thanks,
Dan. Oh, I know I'm a hot woman. I'm a gorgeous woman. I know that.
Well, Zach, I'm guessing if he wants to, Joe could get some mileage out of the fact that I was solicited by some random John via text tomorrow morning. But we encourage everybody to tune in tomorrow from 6 to 10 to hear Joe and Zach and Hollywood and everybody else. We appreciate you calling in, Zach. Thanks for the update on everything.
Listen, it was absolutely my pleasure. Love listening to you guys, and I can't wait for the Game of Thrones stuff. What is that, top of the hour, 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock, you got it.
All right, well, I'll be listening with Matthew, hopefully putting him to sleep. Probably not, but I'll be trying.
Good luck with that, my friend.
Yeah, it doesn't work. I know. I need all the luck I can get.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, boys.
All right. There he is, Zach Krantz, joining us here. Of course, you can listen to him every morning. So,
this has been one of their better shows ever. It really has.
I agree. And we get an update from the picnic. And so Zach is either lying to us, which is a possibility, or he's telling us that nobody at the picnic, if we believe him, nobody at the picnic had anything to do with this.
Well, nobody that he witnessed.
That he witnessed. Correct. But I would argue, knowing Zach, that he may have at least inferred, like if he knew there was some sort of hijinks going on, he may have said, hey, I know something happened involving the picnic, but I'm not at liberty to say. I think we may have gotten that out of him.
Oh, yeah, no. He's got our backs on this one.
Right.
Because you don't call in. If you have information, you call in. You crush us with it.
Correct.
You drop the hammer with
Correct.
Us.
Correct. But I do like the fact he backed me up on the porn virus that was going. This was years ago now, but there was a porn virus going on.
He outed the offender.
He did, yes. Who hasn't worked here in a long time.
What about the guy code? I mean, good Lord.
Okay. There apparently is none. All right. So at 8 o'clock, we're going to talk some Game of Thrones. How about this when we come back? Do we talk Brian Flores for a few minutes?
Why don't we talk some NBA?
You want to talk some NBA?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we've got the rivalry we've wanted with the Rockets and the Warriors. The Warriors and the Cavs, that never really felt like a rivalry. Yeah, 3-1 was fun, but we always felt the Warriors were the better team. This is a blood feud. Those teams hate each other. And it's great. It's great for basketball. Unfortunately, the games start after I go to bed. But I've forced myself to stay up and watch them, and they've been great.
All right. Rockets, Warriors, talk some NBA playoffs next here on QAM. Fort Lauderdale Escort Index.
Gregory Likens, what are you doing in your spare time? Radio.com. Radio.com.
We're back here on 560 WQAM. Greg Likens alongside Adam Beasley. Hope everybody's doing well on this Tuesday night. We've got Dan Day, Chili Willy with us on the other side of the glass, taking up until 10 o'clock. Man, we have had a lot of fun so far on this program.
We laugh a lot when we do radio together. We really do.
We do. We're going to talk some Game of Thrones in the 8 o'clock hour, and we're going to talk some NBA playoffs in a moment. But I do have to read some of these text messages. So, Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text lines, 56022. We're talking throughout the show about this text message I received where somebody texted me a number I didn't recognize, essentially soliciting a prostitute.
Yes.
And so we have now...
Not essentially.
Well...
Explicitly.
Now we know explicitly, because at first it was like, okay, could we make some form of excuse for this person that perhaps it's just like a massage, it's just a chiropractor.
Come on, the emoji doesn't lie.
I know, but still, play along with me for a second. Maybe, just maybe we give them the benefit of the doubt, but then when I asked, how'd you get the number, they simply responded, Fort Lauderdale Escort Index. So that sealed the deal for us. We're getting some texts here. One of our texters says... You might have to research the prostitution numbers on your private computer, or your boss would probably have some questions,
well,
LOL.
Dan's already been headfirst into that.
Nah.
I've got a perfect excuse to look up porn at work now. Why would I pass up that opportunity?
Hey, you got to take advantage. It's just show research, and that's what you can cite.
I mean, for the first time, that'd be the truth.
And I've got the evidence. It's right there on demand online, WQAM. If you want to hear it, you can go.
There you go. That first hour, if for those who missed it, you can listen to the hijinks.
You should send him that link. you should text him the link of that audio.
That would be... I will not do that, but that in theory sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? This person thinks it's just, okay, some random dude got back to me, whatever, and then...
I mean, we haven't outed him.
No, we have not. We've been very respectful of the guy code here, I suppose.
I mean, if it was me and there was no identifying characteristics... I would think it's hilarious.
I
would probably, if I was him, share it with my buddies who probably also run in those circles.
Yes. Very true.
Because he's not a solo actor, it doesn't feel like. Someone that brazen, this isn't his first rodeo, all right?
No, no. I mean, this guy, yeah, he clearly has been down this road many, many times.
He's been to Jupiter, we'll just say that much.
Right. So I've had this phone number for a really long time. Somebody here says... When I got this number from Sprint, for the first year, I got calls from Johns and people looking for cocaine.
Wow. Now, if you could start getting hit up for that.
Can you imagine? That would be crazy.
Yeah.
Somebody else says, my number is listed somewhere in Mercy Hospital. 9 more calls and I'm getting my something else here. So your PhD or your master's? What is it? Okay. So they're getting calls from the hospital? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, that's a little cryptic.
Okay.
this next one's great.
And somebody else says, thanks for the site. Had the best massage ever. Already. Just within a very short period of time.
Memberships has its privileges,
just
right?
Like that. Oh, man. Okay. So let's...
For anyone that says that advertising on WQAM doesn't work, that right there. Get our salespeople on this now.
So we got a couple of playoff games that are going to take place tonight. As you've heard Dan in the headlines mention, of course, we have the 76ers Raptors coming up and then the Nuggets and the Blazers. But last night, Bucks beat the Celtics 113-101. Rockets beat the Warriors 112-108. And the Rockets-Warriors series is the one that everybody is really paying attention to. It's a rematch from last year's Western Conference Finals. And we were on the air last week tonight. It was a week ago tonight in which you had said, hey, it's going to be difficult if the Rockets don't win game 2 mm-hmm. for them to win this series, because then they have to win 4 out of 5.
Mm-hmm. Well, you called me an idiot.
They didn't win, and now the series is tied 2-2. Now, they always say the old cliche is that a series hasn't begun until a team wins on the road. That hasn't happened yet, but what do you make? You and I are rooting hard for Houston.
Of course, we hate those Warriors.
And 2-2, this is like music to our ears.
Yeah, a couple of things. One, can we all agree that Steph Curry's a fraud?
I don't know if I'm going to say he's a fraud, but certainly his reputation for not playing up to his regular season standard in the playoffs has come to life once again.
Yeah. Cliff Notes version, he's a fraud. Okay. Could you imagine if, I know it always goes back to him, but Steph Curry is a former MVP, right? He won the MVP of the league. Is that correct?
Two-time MVP.
If LeBron pulled this disappearing act, he, in the prime of his career, we know LeBron's not in the prime of his career anymore.
James Harden has done it in the past.
Correct.
I mean, there are plenty of players who get a ton of grief. Russell Westbrook, if he's not playing well.
Yep.
Right? Like, think about all the other star players.
Would have gotten destroyed, and somehow he skates. How's that happening?
Well, it's a really good question because he had a great game one of the Clippers series. And since that time, he has struggled.
He's been a replacement level player. He's scored, what, 13 points a game since then? Give or take, maybe 15?
He had 30 last night to help compensate for it. So it was a nice bounce back. He was still 12 for 25.
Yeah, he's not shooting that great. I mean, well, he was 2 for 9 at one point from three. It's not like he's been dead on. I mean, he is to steal a Greg Doyleism, he's shrunk. Like, he's shrunk a little bit. He hasn't played to the level that we expect him to play. And a team of that talent level, I'm sorry, you have three superstars, you should beat the team with two superstars. You really should, unless two of your superstars stink. And right now, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry aren't setting the world on fire.
And I think it's a combination of them not shooting well, obviously. But then also, I just get the feeling, Bees, that you can make a strong argument that the two of those guys, for as much success that they've had with Kevin Durant, may not be disappointed if he decides to leave.
Oh, no, that's done.
Right?
That's
like,
done.
I just get the feeling that, and I don't know what their relationships are like, but I just get the feeling that Durant wants to move on, and that for Curry, Thompson, even Draymond Green, like, they'll all feel liberated when they don't have a prodigious talent, but that guy who, you know, certainly demands the ball a certain number of times. We don't see the same free-flowing style of play that we have in years past, and certainly not the free-flowing style of play we saw pre-Durant Golden State.
Yes, but Kevin Durant's arguably the best player in the world right now.
Correct.
He is so good. I mean, I don't like him. I think he's a little arrogant jerk, but he is really, really good. So you should give your best player the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
He should have the most number of shots. But here's the thing. They had two wide open looks last night to send to overtime. Wide open. Kevin Durant had one. Steph Curry had the other one. Where's the heat on Steph for missing that last second shot? The game was in his hands and he blew it.
Wow, you're really harsh on Steph Curry, huh?
I don't like that team at all.
I don't like the team either. And listen, I wholeheartedly agree with you, and I've brought it up before. Steph Curry, for whatever reason, gets a hall pass. I don't know if it's because he looks like he could be your next-door neighbor, like teenage kid. He's got the boyish charm to him. I know that—
They're just complainers. Well, they've got an edge to them that's just— It turns me off, man.
But wasn't one of the best moments of the playoffs when he bricked the dunk?
Well, yeah. Yeah, that was great.
Right? I mean, there are very few things better than that.
Yeah.
Especially, and I didn't understand in that game, like, there was still time left. They're down four, down five, I guess it was, at that point, and then they don't foul. They pull the San Antonio Spurs and don't foul.
Right.
With 19 seconds left.
Right.
What's going on?
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
I'm getting smoked, by the way. Beasley's a bigger diva in sports media than Kyrie on the Celtics.
Wow, that's bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wear that as a badge of honor.
Kyrie is a diva.
Could you imagine if Kyrie, KD, and Zion are all on the same team next year?
Oh, my goodness. I feel bad for Zion.
Yeah, because at least he's a fun-loving guy, just wants to play basketball.
Yeah.
But there wouldn't be enough oxygen in the room for those three.
Well, Kyrie just isn't happy with anything, right? Let's take a timeout. We got to take a break here and get to the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to talk much more NBA playoffs, some of these personalities. We'll talk some Game of Thrones as well. We got a lot more to get to. It's been an active, strange, but fun show. Adam Beasley, Greg Likens here with you. We'll take a break, come back to kick off the 8 o'clock hour next on QAM. Fort Lauderdale Escort Index.